morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us today. As Anne mentioned, my name is Sal Libretto, and I work, I'm here representing Adanya International. We're a public health, communications, and education company headquartered in Silver Spring, Maryland. And I'd like to talk today about some testing we did on a screening instrument we developed. And this is a screening instrument for adolescents, a drug and alcohol screening instrument, computerized, self-administered, and meant to be taken in a primary care setting. We're calling one of the names we call it is the ADASI-PC, Adolescent Drug and Alcohol Screening Instrument for Primary Care. And we developed this screening instrument under a small business innovation research contract with NIDA. And it's essentially the target for this instrument is adolescents. And NIDA was asking that they wanted a screening instrument for sort of a 12 to 15 year old. And so we actually done some subsequent testing on older adolescents as well, but I'll focus on the ages 12 to 15 today. The instrument has 21 screening questions, and there are two demographic questions. And as I said before, it's meant to be used in a waiting room or office setting, and it can give the adolescent a laptop or set him or her down at a PC station or something, and they can sort of let it happen on their own. They don't need to be supervised, or you don't need to be there while it's being administered. There's two pieces to this. There's a risk analysis. So these are 10 questions that look at behaviors associated with drug and alcohol use that determine risk status, either high or low risk, to become drug users or to escalate drug use. And then there are drug and alcohol use levels. These are 11 questions, and at the end, adolescents will be categorized into the no use, experimental use, or dependence categories. And the screening instrument does have skip patterns, so that if kids aren't using, they actually will have as few as 13 questions instead of the total 21, so that'll save time. I'd just like to list the risk analysis items. As you can see, we're talking about things like criminal behavior, school problems, academic issues, being offered drugs or alcohol, being at parties or other places where drugs or alcohol are there. On the next screen, you'll see we're also talking about our friends using depression, being in a car with people who are drinking and using drugs. These are all things that we know through the research are associated with drug and alcohol use, as well as the last two questions, which are intention questions. Do you think you'll be using in the next year or before you finish high school? I think if kids are going to admit that they're planning to use it, then they would be high risk. Some additional components of this whole package are motivational messages. So at the end of the screening instrument, kids are going to be allowed, where they'll be asked based on some of the items that some of the problems they've admitted to, will be able to choose a message that they receive at the end of this. And these motivational messages give advice about what to do if you have problems in a particular area, and referral sources, and also ways to bring up the topic of drug or alcohol use or the other behavior problems with a parent or a teacher or a healthcare professional. There's also a provider's guide with fact sheets about basic facts about adolescent drug and alcohol use, as well as some brief interventions, ideas for things to say to kids if they're having some trouble, how to refer them, and so forth. Just ways that providers can broach the topic. There's an introductory video about how to use the whole package. We've also developed some online courses related to adolescent drug and alcohol use, and a Spanish version as well. That's in paper and pencil form right now. We haven't computerized the Spanish version. We're working on that, though. Specific aims. Basically, we want to look at reliability and validity. So we're gonna compare our instrument to another instrument that's been previously validated. And in this case, we use the POSIT, the problem-oriented screening instrument for teens. We're going to look at test reliability, and then we're also looking at the effectiveness of the screening instrument on self-report. health-related changes in behavior and attitudes and that sort of thing, as well as what was their experience like taking it? Was it, you know, was it in sort of an acceptable way for them to relay this information? So we're looking at, this study was done, by the way, in North Carolina with our partners at RTI. Inclusion criteria, they had to be visiting one of the participating health clinics between 11.5 and 15 years. As you can see, parental informed consent and ability to provide locator information so we could track them for their 1 month follow-up. Three data collection points, as you can see. So times one and two, we were giving the ADASI back, you know, two times for the test retest, and then at time three, we also wanted to give a follow-up questionnaire to see if there's any changes in substance abuse behavior or intentions, as well as help-seeking behavior. Around 13 years, fairly evenly split male-female. One thing that does stand out is predominantly African-American population, sample, I should say. And you can see some of the admitted drug and alcohol usage over the past year. So ever tried cigarettes or alcohol is about 20, you know, almost one quarter, and ever tried marijuana 16%, and inhalants 2.4%. So these are some students, even at a young age, who have tried drugs and alcohol. In terms of the risk levels, we found both at time one and time two, just over half were at high risk for substance use. And you can see how it breaks down from no use, experimental use, moderate use, and dependence. Pretty similar between time one and time two as well. In terms of internal consistency or the interrelatedness of the items, we're finding coefficient alphas at both time one and time two greater than 0.7, which would indicate a good internal consistency reliability. In terms of test-retest reliability, we have the Pearson correlation of 0.6. Class correlation coefficient of 0.4, which is overall you would say fair to good test-retest reliability. With such few questions, now keep in mind this was only on the 10 risk questions, and given the age of the participants as well as the trait being measured, it's not too far off from what we would expect. In terms of concurrent validity, measured against the risk scale for the posit, we see good 0.5 correlation, which is also good, that's satisfactory, but concurrent validity. In terms of external validity, we measured the risk at the ADASI risk score items against self-reported use from the posit, and also, you know, once again, we found good validity indicators. Of course, it's not quite as high when you measure risk to risk, but not everybody who's at high risk will then go on to use. So once again, those are about what we would expect to see. We were satisfied with that. In terms of perceived risks, we're seeing, except for alcohol, so drink alcohol 1 to 2 times a week, we're seeing increases in perceived risks of alcohol, tobacco, and other drug use. From total perceived risks to smoking 1+ packs a day, as you can see, smoking marijuana, and so forth. And also, this next slide, this is also perceived use. Trying illicit drugs once or twice, we found at the 30-day follow-up a significant increase in perceived risk. so forth, all the way down. So the only the interesting thing is that only alcohol, drinking alcohol once or twice a week was not significant in terms of increased risk. Healthcare and information-seeking behaviors. In this case, on this slide, we're not seeing anything significant in terms of setting up an appointment, talking to providers. We are seeing no significant increases from before to after the administration of the screening instrument. On the next slide, you'll see that they were more likely to talk to a parent about alcohol, tobacco, and other drugs, or another adult. So that there was an increase there in terms of the percentage of participants who reported doing that in 30 days prior. So there was an increase in help-seeking behavior. In terms of substance use behaviors, the only change, and this was a slight change in marijuana use, actually, after taking this instrument. You can see that this was a 5-point Likert type scale, so the average scores will vary, be somewhere between 1 and 5, and you'll see it's a small but significant decrease in marijuana use. So not many of the kids were using anyway, but fewer used it or admitted to using it 30 days later. And then in terms of intentions, we're seeing no change in thoughts about drugs, smoking drugs or alcohol. In terms of satisfaction, overall we were happy with the results. So 84.5% feel comfortable answering the questions, and 93% were comfortable using the computer. Some of the on some of the open-ended questions we asked, students, the adolescents really responded well to taking this on a computer, and also knowing that they did not have to share the information with healthcare providers. That's a choice that they have, whether or not they can share it. In either case, they're going to get a motivational message, but if they want to share it, great, but they don't have to. And that's, I think, what we think one of the benefits about it, and I think one of the reasons why kids will be more likely to answer honestly. And you can see that 71% would or did share the results with the healthcare provider. I'll move on to the next slide. Just point out some of the interesting findings. They were able to remember what they learned. Over 50% talked to parents about their results on the test, which we thought was a good thing. And in terms of conclusions, preliminary evidence, there's some preliminary evidence for adequate psychometric properties. Found good internal consistency, fair to good test reliability, and for those reasons I mentioned before, why it wasn't maybe better than it is, a strong concurrent and external validity we see, and with significant correlations to the posit, and we found that it does in fact increase youth perceived risks about ATOD use and also information seeking. Talk about some of the next steps, as you'll see. The slide ever moves. One thing is to computerize the Spanish version. Here we go. We'd like to do further evaluation with a more diverse sample. Even though the physicians received the brief interventions, they're available, they weren't tested. So we don't know if there's any positive effect from the specific brief interventions that we developed. We're also enhancing the look and feel of the instrument. We're changing it to a web-based design that could be accessed anywhere where you have access to the internet, and adding some flash video where young people, sort of older adolescents, college age people would be reading the questions aloud and making it a little bit more interactive. Kids will have a choice of a male or female person reading it to them. And we found that also helps with the interest and the acceptability of taking this. So I want to thank you very much. I appreciate your time.